I want us to get into the Word of God as quickly as possible, because the media guy this morning told me we have a lot of slides today. And I said, yes, we are going to try and cover as much as possible today. This week, the Lord has been ministering something into my spirit about faith. This started on Monday, and then it kept going and going and going. And so today we are going to talk about fighting the good fight of faith, fighting the good fight of faith. If you can go to the next slide there, I'm going to read this scripture, and then we will pray and get into the Word. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 12. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I'll read again, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Father God, we stand before you this hour with thanksgiving. We acknowledge your presence and your power, because you're good to us. Today, Father God Almighty, even as we continue through this worship season, we pray that you're going to continue ministering to us. We open our hearts to you, Father, speak. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The Bible says, fight the good fight. Now, I want to say that if there is a good fight, then it means that there is a bad fight. Praise the Lord. If the Bible says, fight the good fight, then there is a possibility that there is a bad fight or there is wrong fighting. So the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, the fight of faith is the, and if you go to the next slide, what I said is this, that between the time you pray and the time your prayer is answered, in between that period of time, now that period of time can be one day, it can be a minute, it can be years, it can be seasons, but between the prayer and the manifestation of the answers, that period of time in between, that is when we fight the fight of faith. That is when we fight the fight of faith. Between our prayer and the time that the prayer is answered. Now the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that now faith is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. He says that faith is really literally the evidence of things that you can't see. Faith is when you believe and you believe and you believe that those things are there even though your eyes cannot physically see them. Faith is when we walk into a place and we understand that the person that promised is capable of doing whatever it is that he said he's going to do. Which means that if I pray a prayer and I have faith, it means that I do not have to see the things I'm praying for to know that they are there. Praise the Lord. That the moment I pray, it clicks in my spirit, in my mind, in my soul, in everything that I have, that there is manifestation, that these things have already happened. Because the moment that we pray in the spirit, God answers these things. In the spirit realm, there is already manifestation, and what we are awaiting is the manifestation of what's happened in the physical. Which means that the moment that we say, Father, he does it. The moment we say, Daddy, do this, he does it. Now, there is a period in there between the physical, between the spiritual real manifestation and when it happens in the physical. And that is when we have to make a choice to fight the good fight. We have to make a choice to say, I'm going to hang on, I'm going to believe, I'm going to trust, I am going to hang in there because I know the person that promised is faithful to accomplish what he said he's going to do. Praise the Lord. I said there that we should not be surprised when our prayers are answered. Praise the Lord. You see, we have come to a place as a church and as individuals where because of who we are, we are come to a place where we pray just because it is time to pray. We pray and never watch. The Bible says pray and watch, because the reason we watch is because it is going to happen. So what should be normal, because we serve a faithful God, what should be normal is we praying and then the answers showing up. We pray and the answers show up, and we pray and the answers show up. The anomaly should be when we pray and he doesn't answer. But you see, we have come calloused in our lives so much that the anomaly is when he answers. That is why we become very excited about miracles. Because for us, they are things that are not normal, they are not common. They are things that, you know, just happen once in a while. We should live our lives because of the faith, because we have evidence of the things that we don't see. We should live our lives like this. I pray and he answers. I pray and he answers. I pray and he answers, because he is a faithful father. So the miracles should be our normal. When our prayers are answered, this should be what normally happens. It should be something that we are expecting. Something that we are expecting. When we pray, we have to have an expectation. This woman, a story is told of this woman who came across this scripture that's in the book of Mark that says, if you speak to the mountain and do not doubt it, the mountain shall be moved and be moved into the ocean. So the woman walks out in her window and looks outside, and there is this mountain, there's this hill, and she looks at the mountain and says to the mountain, by faith I speak, mountain, be thou moved and be cast into the ocean. And the next morning she comes to her window and the mountain is still there. And she stands there and she says, well, I thought as much. See, there is a disconnect. This woman has lacked faith even in her prayer. She's saying, by faith I command these things, but there is no evidence of faith, because she thought as much that the mountain would not be moved, that whatever it is she's praying about is just any other thing. It is not going to happen. As believers, as children of God, we have to move ourselves from the place of faithlessness to a place of faith by receiving the faith. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Which means that we have to feed ourselves with the word of God and the testimony, that so much so that we expect things to happen. When I say to the mountain, move, I am looking at the mountain tomorrow and thinking, why are you still here? So anomalies should be when God does not answer. The father who promised, he is faithful. He will do what he said he will do. Praise the Lord. You know, go to the next slide. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Chapter 10, verse number 35 and 36, it says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is of great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Therefore, when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. The Bible is trying to say that there's going to come times and seasons when we will need the confidence, when we will need the assurance in our spirit, when we will need the faith in our spirit, that whatever it is that has been done will happen. And then the Bible says we need endurance, because sometimes the answers to our prayers don't come as we want them to come. They do not appear as we want them to show up. Some of them take a long time, and some of them take a short time, and some of them don't even wait. But one thing I want to assure you is, if you're praying according to the will of the Father, if you're praying according to what God has asked you, as if you're praying according to the scriptures, he says, I am faithful. I will do what I have promised. Now, there are some two reasons that I want to talk about this morning. And I'm not saying these are the conclusive reasons. I'm saying these are some of the reasons. But I'll just speak about two that will hinder you, or that will make your answers, the answers to your prayer, to delay. that the manifestation of the what is happening in the spirit will delay to manifest in what is happening in the physical. The first reason is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And the next reason that I'm going to talk about this morning, like I said, these are not conclusive, but they're just some of the things. But this one would be two of the major reasons why there's a delay. There's a disconnect between the time of prayer and the time of answering. The second one is misalignment. We are going to look at this really quickly. Number one is the spiritual warfare. If you want to come with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 10. Daniel chapter number 10. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 14. I'm going to read really fast. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now I want us to pay attention to that. Cyrus, king of Persia. Let us not forget that even as I read through. A message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict. But he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. Now, I want to give us a background to this so that we understand what it is. So, you see, this time, this season that Daniel is receiving this revelation, Daniel is in captivity in Babylon. And this season, he is reading, he's studying through scripture, and then he comes across the part where Jeremiah is prophesying that they will be in captivity for 7 years. And this is around the 67th year that they have been in captivity, which means Daniel is now an older guy. He's seasoned at this time. And now he comes across this scripture and he starts praying, Father, let your will be done. Let your promise come to pass. We are nearing the season where you promised that you would set us free. So he starts praying and he prays this prayer to God, saying, Lord, release us. You said after 70 years you will set us free. Father, release us. The Bible says, now to continue, this is King Cyrus. Cyrus is the king of Persia in that time. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Ophir's. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away. They ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, I understand the words that I'm about to tell you, and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on the humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, say the prince of the kingdom of Persia, was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Say, the kings of Persia.
The kings of Persia.
Now, I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. Now, I want to explain this. So Daniel has prayed. He has prayed, and on the first day, the angel shows up on the 21st days, on the 21st day. And he tells him, Daniel, listen, the moment that you started praying, the moment from the first day that you set your mind to understand and you started praying, the moment that you knelt down, I released an answer to whatever it is you're praying about, to your request. I was given that answer to bring to you. But remember, at the beginning of this scripture, we read about it's the third reign of the king of Persia. It's the third reign of the king of Persia. But then the Bible says that as this angel explaining to Daniel, he says there was something else. That Persia as a nation was not only being led by the king of Persia, who is Cyrus, but there were some princes that were also in control of this nation called Persia. The other thing that you want to pay attention is that not only is there princesses that were or prince that were controlling this nation, but there was also kings. Because he says, because I was left only me alone with the kings. Before the angel Michael came to support me, the kings were controlling. They were trying to stand between me and the things that God had said. Now I want to say this. The devil exists. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he has only one agenda: to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. He does not want you to be alert enough to receive the answers to your prayers. Which means that we might have a president called Donald Trump, but there are some princesses and the kings of this nation that in the spirit realm try to control things, try to run the nation. We have a mayor in this city, but the city of Cheyenne in the spiritual realm, there are some principalities which are geographic demons that are assigned to geographic locations that control and try to run the show, and they would try to hinder everything that God wants to do in your life. There is spiritual warfare that is going on in the spirit realm between your prayer and the answer. And that is why in the moment between prayer and the answer, we have to fight the good fight of faith. Which means we are going to wait upon the Lord. We are going to pray and continue praying. You see, Daniel did not set out to pray for 21 days. Praise the Lord. Daniel was just praying. Which means if the angel showed up on the 25th day, he would still find Daniel praying. Daniel would keep praying. The Bible says that it was the 24th day and he was in the river of Tigris praying. He would continue praying until the angel shows up. Which means on your part, you have to continue praying and pray and pray until something happens. I call it push. Pray until something happens. Pray until you see mountains move. Pray, continue praying. The Bible says that Daniel continued praying until the angel showed up and revealed these things to her. Now listen, when these spiritual forces are happening up there, when the battle is happening between the angel and the princesses and the kings, do you know that Daniel does not have an idea what is going on? It didn't even bother him. You see, God did not come and tell him, Daniel, you know, you probably need to pray because there are demonic spirits that are going on so that I can send another angel. The Lord himself moved things so that the answer would get to Daniel. The Bible says that when this angel, which everybody believes is Gabriel, because Gabriel is the messenger angel throughout the Old Testament, people believe that this being that Daniel was describing is angel Gabriel. Between the time that angel Gabriel was fighting with these demonic forces up there until he was in a place where he could not fight anymore, the Bible says that the Lord sent the archangel Michael to come and support him, to come and support this angel until the answer got to Daniel. God himself was moving things in the background to make sure that the answer gets to its destination.
which means that your role is to play, to fight the good fight of faith, which is to continue praying, to continue trusting, to continue waiting on God irrespective of what's happening. It doesn't matter how many battles will happen in the spirit, the Lord will make sure that he moves everything to bring everything to align, to give you an answer to your prayer. So sometimes this, because of spiritual warfare, the answer to your prayer might take longer than you expected it to come. But the Bible says, even though it may tarry, it will surely come to pass. It may not come in your time. It may not come the way you planned for it because of a battle that is happening. But I want to assure you something, that the battle is not in your hands. In fact, if you continue reading those verses down there, the angel says to Daniel, listen, only me and Michael are the people that are fighting those demons. Amen. Your part is to fight the good fight of faith by remaining faithful, by trusting and consistently waiting on the one that promised, because we know that the one that is promised is faithful and he will accomplish what he said he's going to do. Has the Lord said anything to you today? Because as long as he has said it, the Bible says he will stand behind his word to perform it. He will stand behind his word to accomplish it. He will stand behind his word to do what he said he will do. The second reason why there could be a delay in the answers to your prayer is misalignment. And I tried here to say just realignment, making everything work together. You see, for there to be an answer to a prayer, everything has to align in the way it's supposed to be. Especially prayers that have other people involved in them. Praise the Lord. Listen, there has to be an alignment or a realignment by God to place everything in the place they are supposed to be, for him to move and bring the answer to your prayer, especially when that prayer is involving somebody else. Other people, other forces that are involved in the prayer. Let us prove it. Now, if in the whole Bible, if I asked you today, who is the man that had faith? Abraham. I know that you will say that, so I'm going to just say it for you. The Bible says he's the father of faith, which means that there is no way that God would not answer. Because you see, the way God works is your faith, the answer, your faith, the answer. And this is the father for faith, which means that when he and if he prays, he's praying from a place of faith. See, the Bible says that one day Abraham goes to the father. You see, he goes to this great war and he wins the war. He's coming back and he meets with Melchizedek and gives the tithe, and then he gets this opportunity to hang out with the father. Because you see, when you're faithful on your part, the father just gives you his time. So he shows up and he meets with God. And the Bible says that he tells God, I'm going to try and summarize this up, and then we look at a few verses that stick out. He says, he goes up and he meets with God, and he says to him, listen, you've been so good to me. I am wealthy. I have everything that I ever needed, but I do not have a child. I do not have a heir. The only heir in my house, in my home, is my nephew. He is not my own child. And the Bible says that in this time, the Lord tells him, Abraham, if you want to go to the next slide, he says, Abraham, I will give you a child. I'll make you, what in the words of God tells him, I will make you the father of nations. I will make you womb. I'll make the seed from within you be multiplied, and it will be a great nation. It will be a great nation, the Lord says. And then this verse says, in chapter number 15, verses number 6, then he says, then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So when God says to Abraham, you will get children, you will make a great nation, Abraham, because he was the man of faith, because he knew who God was, the Bible says that he believed God. Now, I want us to underline that, because that is very important. Because the moment that God speaks, Abraham believes it.
He believes it. He grasps it and he knows it from the top of his head to the toe of his feet. He knows the Father, because he said it, he will do it. Abraham believed it. And the Lord said, you're righteous because you believe. Now, let's keep pushing it. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Which means God has answered. From the moment Abraham tells God, I do not have a heir, and the Lord says, I'm going to make you an heir. The answer to Abraham's prayer to have children has been answered. Abraham has believed. The answer is come. You're going to have a baby. But you see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's the Bible. Pure and simple, black and white. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from God. See, the problem with this prayer of Abraham is that he cannot get pregnant. Hello? Amen. This prayer, if there's going to come an answer to this prayer, it's going to have to be connected to somebody else. I'm talking to people who have spouses. I'm talking to people who have family. I'm talking to people who have friends that are praying and believing God for something. But the answer to the prayer that you're praying is linked to somebody else. The Bible says that there was a situation here. There was a woman that's supposed to be involved for there to be a birth, for the child to come forth. Continue to the next slide. I want to see where I can serve. The Bible says that then Abraham waits. You remember, God is talking to him. He's about 65. He waits for about 10 years later. And then there is no child. Nothing is happening. There is nothing that is going on. And he shows up and he says, hello, didn't I talk to you a little bit ago and you said I was going to get a baby? And the Bible says this is the answer that God gives to Abraham. The Lord says to him, you're going to have children. And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So now he's 100 and Sarah is 90 years old. He goes before the father. He's like, we talked, hello. And then God comes to him and affirms of him. He affirms him. He says, listen to me. You will give birth to a baby. Now, listen, in between this season and where we are, Sarah, when, of course, the husband went home, of course, Abraham went home and told Sarah, guess what? You know what God said? God said we're going to have a baby and we're going to create a great nation here. But so Sarah has faith, but the faith of Sarah is not in really God, because, you see, she did not hear from God. She heard from her husband. So she hasn't heard from, remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So there is a problem. Sarah has not heard from God yet, which means that her faith is really in her husband. And that is why Sarah has this proposal to the husband. She said, listen, son, honey, I know God spoke to you. And the other thing I know is that I have faith in your body, because your body can actually give. When God was prophesying about you giving birth, it means you, which means any other woman around town could be the other person that you can use, and then you will bring forth a baby. You being as old as you are, you bring forth a baby. Listen, I have this girl at home. Her name is Hagar, and you can get a baby with Hagar. This is between the time that God has spoken to Abraham. There is this time of fighting the good fight of faith, this season in between. So Abraham agrees with the wife, thinks to himself, that could be very true. There's a chance that really God spoke to me as Abraham. And if there's going to be born a child and I'm involved in the business of getting the child, it's going to be me. So he gives birth to this boy called Ishmael. The Bible says that the moment that this Hagar lady becomes pregnant, she starts despising Sarah. She starts despising her. And Sarah goes to Abraham and says, this woman, since the time she conceived, she's been treating me unfairly. And Abraham tells her, do with her whatever you will. And so Sarah starts mishandling this woman. She starts harassing her. And this woman decides to run away with the boy. Now, in between this time again, there's something that is happening. Abraham, goes to God and he says to him, listen, even if you don't give me a child, I'm cool. Let Ishmael live. And that's what I wanted to hit on, really. If you want to just go back a little bit and listen to the words of Abraham. So the Ishmael has been born at around this time. Remember, from the time God spoke to Abraham up to this time, there's been all this waiting and there's all been these decisions about getting another child from somewhere else. So when God comes to when Abraham comes to God again and says, well, thank you, you know, let's just deal. He says, then Abraham fell on, God is still reminding Abraham of the baby. And then Abraham falls on his face and he laughs in his heart and he says to, can a 100-year-old da 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 and all that. But then he says to God, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Now, I want to say that this statement, it's Abraham kind of agreeing with his situation. You know, the place where he's reached, he's like, you know what, whatever happens, man, I have a baby. Let Ishmael live. You know, let us not continue fooling each other, God. Let Ishmael just be the guy. Let him be the guy that takes over. Let him be the guy that you're talking about. Because, you see, the answer has not come yet. It's been over 15 years now. Actually, about 25, I think. Keep going. I hope I put that. But God said, no. But Sarah, now Abraham is coming to justify his decision. He says, I have already got Ishmael here. And Ishmael can take on the name. Let Ishmael live. But God said, no. But Sarah, your wife, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. God says to him, no, you're not getting me. The child will come from your wife, Sarah. She's 100, she's 99 now, but the child will come from her. Remember, again, this is the second time that God is coming to Abraham with these reassurances, with this encouragement. But Sarah has not heard from God, which means still there is a problem of connection between answer and prayer, because answer is connected to somebody else. I wanted to say something up there. Now, God, Abraham is justifying his decision. And he says to God, I would that Ishmael can live before you. And then Sarah starts mistreating Hagar. Hagar runs away with Ishmael. Okay? The Bible says that then God follows them as they are running away. Remember, God already has plan A, which is Isaac, that's going to come. But then here it's Hagar running away with Ishmael. But God, when this Abraham guy spoke this statement, which was in passing, but he was talking to God. It was a prayer to God. He said to God, let my son live. God finds Hagar and says to her, what are you doing here, Hagar? Hagar says, well, my mistress, she's mishandling me. And then the Lord says to her, go back. And then God speaks to Hagar a promise. He says, your son shall live. He will be violent, which we all know that that's where the Islamic nation came from. Not the Islamic nation, ISIS, but the Islamic nation, like the Muslims people. He says, they will live amongst your brothers, but they will be violent. They will live amongst your brothers. They will live. The same word that God said. What I want you to see is this. Every time that you go before the Father, God with a request, he answers it like that. He answers it. You know, it might not manifest in the physical yet, but as long as you talk to God about it, God answers it. God answers it. When you say it, he answers it. Then something else happened. Continue to the next slide. The Bible says, remember, all this time Sarah has not heard from God. One day Abraham is hanging out with his family outside his house, just kicking back. The Bible says that he sees three men passing by. And the Bible says he sees these strangers pass by and he runs to them. He goes to them and he says, would you please come to my house? I want to wash your feet and I want to feed you. Please come to my home. Don't just pass. You look like you've come a long ways. Come to my home. Unbeknownst to Abraham, these were angels. So he goes and asks these people to come into his home. And the Bible says these three people come and listen to the question that they ask. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? Where is Sarah, your wife? Because you see, the answer to Abraham's prayer is linked to Sarah, but then there is not a clear alignment. Sarah's faith has not been there. Sarah's faith has not been connected yet. She is still in the place of wallowing. That's why she has her faith, but not in God, because she has not heard the word of God. I underline that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this man, and he says to these three men, he said there, she's in the tent, and he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah your wife will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. For the very first time, Sarah is hearing God. He's hearing the word of God from God himself, from these angels that have come. She hears it for the first time. And then the Bible leaves it at a very, very strange place. If you can go to the next slide. It says, now Abraham and Sarah were old. Number one, they were old. Underline old. Number two, I like the way the Bible repeats it. He says, they were advanced in age. They were old. You know, old can be 30 sometimes for people like me. But then they were advanced in age, number two, and the Bible says, and Sarah was past childbearing, which means that in this place where they were, everything was fired up. The fuses were burnt. She was old, she was advanced in age, she was past childbearing at this time. Continue to the next slide. The Bible says Sarah laughed to herself saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. Now Sarah comes to the physical part here. She's not laughing at the prophecy of the angels. She's laughing at who she is. And she reckons that childbearing does not happen miraculously like the Jesus case. She reckons that this happens when physically people come together. And she reckons that her body, she says, at my age, which means what Sarah is admitting is that, man, they had even passed the stage where they even try at all. Because she says, there is no pleasure. At my age, there is no pleasure. We stopped doing this stuff like 200 years ago. There is nothing. It cannot work, is what Sarah is saying, and she cracks up. And the angel asks, why are you laughing? Go to the next slide. He asks, why are you laughing? And the Lord says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Go to the next slide. And then this is the question that God asks. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Amen. At the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Question, church, is there anything that is impossible to God?
No.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, if you want to go there really quick. Now remember, we've talked about Sarah being where she was. But the Bible says, by faith, this is in the New Testament, Sarah, okay, listen to the language. Because by the way, if you read the Bible, when you're reading the Bible, make sure that you pay attention to the wording, because the wordings are not by mistake. They have been inspired by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, by faith, even Sarah, one, herself, even Sarah herself, which means that it is not the faith of Abraham anymore. It is when it is her faith. It is when she has come to the place of understanding. The Bible says even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. It is when she received it herself, when faith had come by hearing and hearing from God, she was able to. There was a realignment that happened there. God had to make things straight for there to be an answer for that prayer. God realigned everything, brought everything in order for there to be an answer to the prayer. Listen to me, there is no greater prayer than the prayer of agreement. Amen. Because if you're praying with your partner and you're agreeing, God will answer. There will be an alignment and the answer will come speedily. Amen. That is why Matthew chapter 18 verse 19, if you go to the next verse, it says, if two agree here on earth, it shall be accomplished in the heavens. That is why I want as a church for people to just decide we are coming together. We are agreeing about this for the city of Cheyenne. We are coming together. We are agreeing about this for our family. We are coming together. The devil is at work 24/7 to make sure that you do not agree with your husband. That when you're praying together, there is something that everybody is on a different page. And so it is a call for you and your family to say, I want it and I'm going to believe in God. And God is going to realign everything, make everything in place so that my answer can come forth. Praise the Lord. Realignment. So the first reason why there's going to be a delay to your to the prayer answered. First reason is because of spiritual warfare. And the second reason would be because of a misalignment. There's another misalignment that happens. That does not happen when because of another person, because of the involvement of another person, but because of the sovereignty of God. Because of who God is, there is a misalignment of things. And for the answer to come, there has to be an alignment. I'm going to prove that. The Bible says that Zechariah and the wife Elizabeth start praying for a child. They start praying. And they pray and they pray until they get old. There is no child that is showing up. But you see, the problem is that the problem between their prayer and the answer is that the child that they would give birth to has to be a forerunner for Christ. Which means the child was never going to come earlier in their early age, because then Jesus would not be ready to come. So God had to wait until the time is right, until the season is right, for there to be an answer to that prayer. Which means it does not mean that you do not have faith when you pray and the answer does not show up. Maybe, just maybe, God is waiting to align things, to align seasons, so that when you bring forth the gift of God, when the answer manifests in the physical, it aligns up with everything. That is why they are praying and praying, and then they quit praying, and then one day, as Zechariah is in the Holy of Holies, the Lord says to him, you know what, your baby, it's time. You're going to have a baby. Sometimes the misalignment is something of the sovereignty of God. It is something of the greatness of God. He has to align everything, to bring everything and put it in its rightful time for there to be an answer to that prayer. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Which means that as a child of God, when you pray, you have to pray with knowledge and wisdom, but with the Spirit of God. Because you see, the Bible says the Spirit of God knows the Spirit, or rather testifies with your spirit, and he knows everything about God, and he knows your spirit and everything about you. And he knows what needs to be aligned. So stand up on your two feet. Maybe you're in this church and you've been praying for something and praying and praying and praying, and there is no answer. Maybe you just started praying and there is no answer, and you're wondering what's going on. Just pray in my spirit that maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit of God has dropped an answer to what is going on. And like Daniel, I just pray that you do not lose faith. You do not lose faith because it wasn't answered. You continue trusting and believing and continue praying until something happens, because something will surely happen. Our Father is moving around trying to answer you. He's moving around trying to answer you. And what the Lord has been doing in my spirit throughout this weekend, it's like, hey, I said it. You can trust it. And so what I've been praying is that, God, teach me to trust you. Teach me to trust in your word. Teach me to trust in your word. Teach me to trust in your word. But faith, you see, comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Let us pray. Abba, Father, we come to you yet again. To worship you. Your word has come to us very strongly. Maybe we were at a place where we were losing hope, giving up on ourselves, giving up on our prayers. Maybe we were just starting to pray. Father, I pray that this word will be an encouragement to us, that we will start understanding why the things are happening or why they are not happening, and that, Lord Jesus Christ, your Spirit will continue interpreting and revealing to us, my Father God Almighty, what and where we ought to be. One thing we've learned throughout all this is that Daniel did not know about the spiritual warfare, that Abraham had no idea about the spiritual alignment, and that the cause that the wife was there and she was involved in the answers to the prayer. And that, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that even though we might not know the reason behind it, that it won't be our business, that our business will be to fight the good fight of faith, that we will stay and stay put until we see your glory. So tonight as a church, Lord, we humble at your feet and we pray that we shall pray. We love you, Father, and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. May his light shine upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And God bless you.